get you into the headspace of what we're doing. So I just want to go on record and say, in my humble opinion, the church by and large, and I'm by and large, has done an absolutely crappy job of loving our homosexual community. From requests to remain celibate, to not being willing to marry them, not letting gay people be on staff, or lead, or volunteer, to banning them from our churches, to calling them sick, depraved, sinful. Some even saying God doesn't love gay people. Can we all agree with me, without me having to say a whole lot more to make my point, that the church by and large, the Christian church by and large, has not been a model of what Jesus said when he said, love God and love your neighbor. That's what this is about. This hasn't been the Christian church's finest moment, has it? Now, I know you're not here to listen to me talk about how the church community has loved and embraced the gay community. But over the last few years in pop culture, I've been seeing more and more trans people showing up. And I'm using the word trans to describe all people in this area, including transgender people. And the first time I saw a trans person in a recurring role on TV was a woman named Candy Kane from the show Dirty Sexy Money. Anyone watch Dirty Sexy Money? One person. Good show, huh? That was a good one. Clearly it didn't last very long. And she would play the trans woman who the main lead, male lead character was just like hopelessly in love with. And from there went to Glee, to the movie Boys Don't Cry. And probably some of you maybe don't know this, but recently a Sesame Street character came out as trans. Big Bird is transgendered. I didn't know that growing up. Doesn't really mean anything to me, but I learned that recently. With as many as 1% to 2% of our population identifying themselves as trans, most likely we have all met someone trans, whether we knew they were trans or not. And so my goal here is for us today is to learn to love our trans community, to learn to love them deeply and with an awareness and an understanding that I think only open dialogue can foster. And the reason I started this talking about the gay community is because I think that the church community, the Christian church community, by and large has done a horrific job of loving our gay community. And we're still paying the price for that. We're still trying to repair that damage. And I think we have an opportunity here today to do this right. To love our trans community in a way that I think Jesus would say, this is what Christianity is all about. So today that's what we're going to do. We're just going to learn. I'm not an expert in this area at all. You name the dumb thing that someone said. I've probably said it. Just recently I had another experience where it was like, wow, I handled that poorly. No judgment, just the sense of I didn't know what to say. So today we're invited a guest who's going to come in and help us learn. Now I just want to give you guys a word of caution. This is a safe spot, but this isn't the rest of your life. The questions you can ask here today, you can ask them anything, but that doesn't mean you can go outside and meet a trans person and ask them the same question the same way, okay? So this place is special, but I want you guys to be able to ask whatever you want, okay? I don't know what's going on in your head. I don't know the questions you have. So make sure you text in your questions starting right now saying, this is the question I have going on. This is the thing that I need to know to love my trans neighbor, okay? So with that, I'd like to introduce to you the Executive Director of Fairy Tales Presentation Society, a winning member of the Fake Mustache Drag King Troupe, a bodybuilder, a friend, an all-around great guy, and somebody who identifies himself as trans. Would you please give a warm Friend Church welcome to James Demers. Welcome.
Yeah.
Have a seat. How are you feeling?
It's early.
It is.
I work nonprofit. This is like wake up time.
Is it? Would you guys wake late all the time?
No, I don't, but yeah.
Fair enough. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get you guys to know him a little bit. So I'm going to ask him a couple of stupid 10 questions that I just want him to answer off the cuff. How old are you?
24.
Favorite movie?
Ooh.
You work at a film society. This better be good.
Well, yeah, but I don't watch a lot of good movies. There's a very select number of movies that actually make it into the film festival. I watch about 400 movies a year for work, and we pick 20. So if that gives you an idea of like the number of favorite movie, 7 Pounds.
7 Pounds.
Yeah.
Nice. Starbucks or Phil and Sebastian?
Well, that depends on my budget. But Starbucks probably.
Okay. Netflix or cable?
Netflix.
Netflix. Good. Mm. Android, iPhone?
iPhone.
Do you want to answer that one again? Because that was the wrong answer.
You know what? I'm not a tech person, really. So it works. Interface is good. I know how to email on it. We're good.
iTunes is trying to take over your life. You know that, right?
Well, you know, 6 of 1, half a dozen. Our Google overlords will rule us all.
Already are. Harley or Vintage Cafe Racer?
Oh, Vintage Cafe Racer.
Nice.
Yeah, no.
Favorite pub in town?
Dickens.
Okay. That's where you guys have your show.
Yeah, I'm biased.
16th, May 16th, Drag King show. Awesome time. Single or in a relationship?
Oh, complicated.
Oh. Okay, we'll just kind of go around that one.
Just like Facebook status bad into another.
What is your current Facebook status in this area?
It's just not there.
Okay.
Just remove it entirely.
Okay. What's your one rep max for bench press?
250 pounds.
He could literally bench press me and
just
a few
once,
of you.
But it can happen.
I think mine's 50 pounds, so you're doing well. Nice.
Irish stubbornness.
Cheesiest pickup line you've ever used?
Oh, can I say that in church?
Sure.
It was some variation about nice Converse. What are you doing later? It worked.
It worked.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. So if you need a pickup line, there we go.
They were nice Converse. They were good.
Okay, so let's start with just tell your story. So when we first talked, I kind of heard a bit of your story. And so what I'm going to do is I just want you to go back to young kid, pre-puberty. Tell me what's your life back there.
I grew up in Alberta my entire life. I was born in Lethbridge, a little primarily Mormon and seniors populated town about 2 hours south, very windy. I grew up there, and I pretty much always knew from a really young age, and it's easier in hindsight. I told my grandmother at 5 that I wanted to be a boy, and she raised 3 girls and looked at me and was like, girls can do anything boys can do, only better, don't worry about it. Well, that's not actually what I meant, but thank you, Grandma. So I pretty much, and you kind of hit that, you hit a certain age when you realize that verbalizing verbatim how you actually feel as a child doesn't compute well in the adult world. Children can be really Puritan about how they feel exactly, and you know right away. And so when I hit about 9 or 10, I started to realize.
Let me back you up.
Oh, yeah.
You were born a girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that part. Yes.
They need to know that.
Yeah, I was born female. Exciting.
Can I know this is something you're not supposed to ask, so, but you told me I could ask.
Oh, yeah.
Your name?
My name was Allison, which I really liked at the time. Mm. I hated my middle name, but that's okay. I didn't have to use it very much. But yeah, no, that was my old name. Don't ask trans people their old name. It freaks them out. I'll tell you, because we're good friends now.
Okay. They know your relationship status, so it's all
good. Yeah, I mean, really, that's a good thing. Yeah, no, I was born a girl, and went to 9 years of Girl Guides, sold cookies like a beast. It was great. I was really good at it. But nice. I didn't realize the money wasn't for me, so there were some complications. I was like, I did all the work. And my mom's like, no, it has to go to charity. Now I work in charity, which is ironic, but at the time I was like, no, I did all the work. But I grew up in Lethbridge, realized fairly young that I was in the wrong body but didn't have the language for it, and so kind of just repeated.
Actually knew I'm in the wrong body? Like, hey, mom, I'm in the wrong body.
You get gendered right away, right? So you start to do it to kids immediately. You start gendering them into various like colors and activities and sports, and I was kind of a rough and tumble trucks and sand and getting it, you know, water gun fights and that kind of, but that was standard. But a lot of the women in my family were tomboys, so it was okay to a point. And then when I got close to puberty, I think my parents started going, this isn't going away. And we don't know what to do. And so that was interesting. I knew I liked girls at the time too, so I was like, okay, one and one together. So I must be a lesbian. So I came out as a lesbian at 12, which is interesting. I spent all of my elementary, junior high, and high school career in Catholic school, too, as well, which actually was great. I know everybody's like, oh, God. No. I'll be honest. I graduated from St. Francis High School here in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I was out. I went to prom with my girlfriend. No one said anything to me.
Hmm.
I had a rainbow mohawk. Like, I was there. Which was awesome.
Okay,
yeah,
so just help. You're still as a girl at this point in your life.
Yeah, I transitioned at 19.
Okay, so let's back it up. So when someone would say to you is, you know, puberty, you're just starting to develop as a woman.
I think everyone hates puberty, but it's especially frightening when your body is actively betraying you in a physical way that you have no control over. Like, I'm not sure who loved puberty who would do that again. Because I've done it twice. So, in both directions, right?
How is that? Which one's better?
Well, I mean, voice cracking, about as much fun as it sounds. Sorry, guys. Totally didn't realize how much that hurt. Totally does. Puberty, when I was transitioning to puberty, when I was going to puberty the first time as a woman, it was terrifying because I was such a tomboy, there were people, like, the pressure was additional because people were like, oh, you're going to look like a girl soon and you won't be able to get away with this. And I was like, oh, great. Thanks for that. But transitioning, going through puberty the other direction was where I wanted to go. So it was more fun, sort of. Minus all the voice cracking. Because I'm an MC, so the opportunity for my voice to crack in a microphone was pretty often, which made for some good moments.
Now, you said something fascinating, and this is what blew my mind when we first talked. You said, when you started to become, hit puberty, and your body started to change, you said, my body lied about me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My body told people that I was someone other than who I was.
Huh.
And it sounds completely crazy when you're trans and you tell people, like, no, I'm, and you look female-bodied, and you tell people, no, I'm actually a man. It sounds crazy. I'm saying that loud, and I get it, and it sounds crazy to me. But the easiest way to remember, to think about it is think about the way I think about it is. So you take your computer, for example, right? You have hardware, which is the outside, all the hard bits that you bash into and smack when it's not working.
The Apple stuff.
Yeah. So you have your hardware, and then you have your software, your programs, the things that run your computer and make things happen. My software was always male. In my head, the way that my brain worked and the way that I felt about myself and how I wanted to present myself in the world was great. And it was my hardware that needed an upgrade, is the way I think about it. So I like to joke that my brain was a Mac and my body was a PC.
It's the other way around, actually. It's the other way around. Come on.
I work in the arts. That's the way it goes. So that's an easy way to remember it, is like my software was inherent. There was nothing wrong with the way I thought about myself, but bringing my brain and body into alliance required medical intervention in my case.
And how did it... So, you know, you're 13, someone's like, oh, hey, dear, you know, you're a nice little girl.
Mm-hmm.
What did that feel like to you as a person?
Well, I was really butch, so I didn't get nice little girl very often, I'll be totally honest.
Chains and jeans and...
I got a lot of, like, are you a boy or girl? And I mean, I was 13, so I was like, all right, you figure it out. Because I was 13. But it was weird because, and it's stuff, and it's this continuous reminder, right, of, like being misgendered and being kind of put into this box where you're like, no, that's not me, but I'm in line at Safeway and I don't have time to explain it right now. So it was this kind of continuous reminder of, like, you don't see me for who I am over and over and over. So.
That was a line, you know, no one will ever see me. You quoted that when we first talked.
Yeah, no one
That's
will
tragic.
Ever see me. Well, and you will, it, no one will ever see you unless you start to point out and make the intervention to show them who you actually are, right?
So so it's like your body's here and you're standing beside it. They're always looking at the other person, not looking at you and talking to you.
Absolutely. There's nothing more disorienting than spending your entire life avoiding mirrors. Right? Because the person that you know yourself to be and the person that you present visually are two completely different people, and it's a very disconnected experience. Huh. You don't take ownership over your body. You feel disconnected from it. Your relationship with pain can be really different, like all of those kinds of things. And then it's very bizarre to start transitioning and then be forced into your body in a very specific way and be forced to interact in a very different way. But yeah, it's very disconnected. You're not attached to who you present physically because it's not actually who you are, and so you create a wall to deal with the world to separate yourself.
So what was the moment where you were like, okay, I got to fix this. Like, this is not working.
I got out of a interesting relationship. My parents kicked me out of the house at 15. I ended up in that relationship for 3 years.
Sorry, your parents kicked you out of the house at 15?
Yeah, for being gay. It was really gay.
Hey, Mom, I'm straight again.
Yeah.
Does it work that way?
Well, ironically enough, the interesting thing is my conflict with my parents has nothing to do with religion, and that actually is one of the more common conflicts when I deal with LGBT youth now.
Okay.
My super Roman Catholic grandparents and my Mormon cousins, totally fine. I've come out to them both twice. I came out as a lesbian. They're like, bring her home for dinner, like very much my Big Fat Greek Wedding style.
Nice.
And I came out as a trans man, and they're like, yeah, we know.
just, not even a like, hey, it's a big deal?
My grandma's like, you told me when you were five I was waiting for this. Really? Whereas my parents, it was social. Because I was visibly queer, I looked other than what was comfortable societally. That was our conflict. So all the religious people in my life are all the most supportive people in my life, which is usually not the case, but I was really lucky.
Yes.
So, yeah, good time.
Just a quick comment. Someone said no question. Just thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what was the moment, though, that said, like, okay, now I got to do something. Like, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a girl. I can't present physically as a girl.
I told my partner when I was 15, and I said, look, I need to look into transitioning, but I can't do it until I've graduated high school. Because I was working full-time and putting myself through high school. So I graduated under my own steam, but worked full-time at the same time.
Jeez.
And I just was like, well, I can do diplomas or graduate, or I can transition. I can't do the stress of both. And so I actively put it on the back burner. And when I got out of that relationship and graduated high school, I was like, okay, this is time. I can make all my own medical decisions. I don't need anyone's permission. Because I have no opportunity to gain permission to access the medical system because I had no guardianship. And so that was the time that worked for me. And I had a really good friend of mine that got up in my grill and said, are you going to deal with this or not because you're miserable? And she was right. And so I did, and it was the best decision I've ever made. We had that conversation and I never looked back.
Wow. So now I'm going to do the horrible question just to show you guys how much, like, he's giving us a lot of latitude here. So I want you guys to ask whatever you need to in this safe space so you can go out there and be respectful and loving. So I'm going to ask a question that's completely inappropriate, but it shows you guys can ask kind of whatever you want. That's what you told me, right?
Oh yeah, go nuts. So, I have no inhibitions. I don't care.
So
you can't go through the medical system as a trans person and not answer this kind of stuff.
I'm sure. So when you came or transitioned, that means that you are now anatomically male.
More or less. So I'll get into that.
One second. You never asked that question outside of this place, okay?
Yeah, asking people what surgeries they've had is super personal. Has anybody ever been walking down the street, met somebody, you have a 5-minute conversation, and they ask you what your genitals look like? Because that happens to me all the time. I'm like, buy me dinner first, God.
As a matter of fact, that happened to me just last week.
Because then we can talk about it, fine. But we're getting to dessert before we... people are curious, which I totally understand. I've taught sex ed in Alberta for a long time. I'm totally fine talking about it. Generally, though, you meet somebody on the street. What does your junk look like? Not usually like a, what do you do for a living? What does your junk look like? Like, don't... Well, I have a picture on my phone. Like, what do you know?
That's how I'm going to handle that from now on.
So that's the way that goes. No, I had chest surgery, so I had a double mastectomy with free nipple grafts, which sounds like they flew away, but they didn't. So I had a double mastectomy. I was a C-ish D cup. I lost 15 pounds when I had chest surgery, like in 4 hours, and then stood up, and my center of gravity was really messed up because you'd walk around like, you know. So that was weird. So I was like, oh, geez. So I had that. I had a full hysterectomy, but I haven't had any further bottom surgery. And I don't actually have any plans to currently. The really short, without getting into surgical details, answer of that is bottom surgery for trans women, so people who are transitioning male to female, has had significantly more technological development and research in it, and it's usually better. And so I'm not super happy with the surgeries available for trans men, in addition to the fact that regardless of what the surgery looks like aesthetically, there's a 50-50 chance I would never be able to orgasm again, and that's a hobby I'd like to keep.
That's not a flipping coin I'd want to, like, gamble on.
Yeah, heads. Yeah, no. I'm like, no. Those odds can... And I'm young, right? I can wait. Like, I can wait for the technology to get better. I can wait. And I'm... How many people in the room, and be totally honest, love their body? Awesome.
Nice.
There you go. That's super rare. I don't think most of us have little things that, like, oh, I would change this or I would change that. I mean, the diet industry makes money for a reason. I used to work at a natural health food store. But I'm absolutely completely happy with who I am, where I'm at, and for the first time in my entire life. So I made a decision, and I just didn't want to be in a goddamn waiting room again for a while because the process is very long. But I made the decision not to have bottom surgery, and I've never had a problem with that, and I'm totally comfortable with that. So
see, he can answer any question comfortably. So let's go to some of the stuff.
Yeah.
What does transgendered mean? Transsexual, sex change, drag queen? I'm so confused.
Oh, God, there's so many. Hey, I know, right? I get that. Okay, so we'll go through a couple of the definitions. So transgender is a umbrella term, which is everybody's favorite umbrella terms, which encompasses a variety of identities, but it's easier than listing them. So some of you guys are probably familiar with what I call the alphabet soup of the gay, like, acronym, like LGBTTQAPK, that thing. blah, 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 LMNOP, like all of them. So that gets really long, and so people will in the gay community will often now reference the queer community as an umbrella term, so they don't have to remember the acronym, right? Mm. So it's good lazy grammar is the way it works. But for transgendered, it's the same idea. So because you're encompassing transvestite, transsexual, two-spirited, cross-dressing, drag queen, drag king, asexual, bisexual, yeah, all this stuff, we just go transgender. It's easier. Okay. Or you'll see trans asterisks.
Yeah, what's trans? Because we were in researching this, they said, don't use transgender, use trans.
And it's, you know what, I blame Tumblr for trans asterisks. That's actually where it was developed. It was developed kind of in like a combination of like an academic and a social media sort of space where it was like transgender's too long. And technically things like, if you want to get really picky, like transgendered, if you use that grammatically, is also like saying the gays. Mm. It doesn't make a lot of sense grammatically. And so with the mix-ups, people have just been going to trans asterisks. But
so trans,
everything.
Transgenders is good.
Yeah.
Transsexual?
Transsexual is technically, if you go to the dictionary definition, is someone who is seeking medical sex reassignment surgery. Like, that's the end goal. So they're going through the medical system.
Okay.
And so that's what that definition is specific to.
Drag queen?
Drag queen, well, RuPaul, so there's part of it. But drag queen is somebody who is male-identified generally, but not always, but generally for the sake of this, who's male-identified, who is performative cross-dressing. So usually they're performing in some way. They're either comics or lip-sync performers or musicians, and it's a form of theater. And
sex change?
Sex change is specific to GRS, which is gender reassignment surgery or sex change surgery, and that's a specific surgical procedure that's referenced.
Okay.
Usually it's used as a blanket term for everything, but it's actually one specific thing.
Tranny is a bad word for
tranny
this?
Tranny is bad.
Okay.
Because it has an extensive history in the porn industry. That's where it comes from. And because there are a large percentage of trans women, especially like socioeconomically disadvantaged trans women that are victimized in the sex industry, that's kind of where the basis of that from street level prostitution, especially in the United States and especially with trans women of color, come from.
Okay.
And so as an overall derogatory term, it gets used quite a bit in that context. And so generally within the trans community, that's a word you want to avoid.
Okay. Transvestite, did I ask that one already?
Transvestite. So transvestite is different entirely in the sense that transvestite is cross-dressing either for like a psychological or sexual kind of thrill, essentially. And actually the most common percentage of transvestites are straight married men.
Oh.
They have conventions. So that's actually really quite entertaining. I've been to a few of them. And it has nothing to do... I know, right? And they bring their wives, and they hang out and have buffet. It's good. But what's interesting about that is it's specific to... It's not an orientation, necessarily, and it's also not specific wanting to medically transition at all. In fact, most transvestites have no interest whatsoever in approaching the medical system. It's actually about the clothing and the power dynamic and the presentation of dressing up.
This is really interesting. I have a transgender friend, and the most awkward or difficult time I have is reminiscing about our lives. Many memories I have when he was with Kevin, but I'm sitting in front of Lisa. It's hard to reconcile, and I feel awkward. How do you deal with that?
So the easiest thing to do is just to default to the gender that they're currently presenting as, because in conversation it's super awkward to change people's names and gender when you're referring to them in the past. So the easiest thing to do is if you have, in this case, you have someone who's transitioning male to female and they are now female, just refer to them as female always.
So if we talked and I knew you before transition, I would say, hey, James, remember we were hanging out when we were four and, you know, playing the sandbox?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would just say it as James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you would just refer to me, because I always was a boy. In retrospect, I just didn't look like it, right? So, like, you're acknowledging their identity throughout their whole lives as because it was a presence in their lives, even if they weren't living it externally.
And if we use their old name, so their old gender, what does it feel like?
It feels erasing. It's kind of like names, and I think we all have felt this before, names can be a talisman of a lot of things in the same way that like people try to, just like if you say you have an ex-partner, you kind of try to avoid people with that name because it is a bad association if it ended badly. So with trans people, when you transition, your name change and the switch from male to female pronouns or vice versa with your friends and your family and in society is indicative of you becoming visible as who you actually are. Mm-hmm. And so to use an old name is kind of a talisman of who you used to be. And I don't dislike who I used to be. I was a fairly gregarious. I didn't hate who I was because who I was a lot of who I am now. But who I presented then is a different person.
Interesting. My child has been saying things that make me think that they may be transgendered. What do I do? How do I start a conversation?
So with kids, and there is, like, the medical system, if that is eventually where you end up, actually has some really fantastic, there's specific procedures and people who have dealt with trans kids. It's not that uncommon. With kids, you kind of need to meet them where they're at. And that's always my suggestion. So if they want to change their name or they want to start dressing differently, and we all get worried about safety, right? That's the first thing we worry about with kids is, like, are they going to be safe when they're at school, that kind of stuff. But you have the opportunity to meet your kid where they're at. And kids are malleable in the sense that they're going to try out different things. Most people, in hindsight, when they've transitioned, knew when they were younger, but finding the language and the concepts, the concept structures around that when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, is really challenging. So if your kid wants to wear princess dresses at home, let them. See how they feel. Like, their growing comfort around that idea in a safe space will give you and will make indicative of what their decision ultimately might be. There are a lot of opportunities if your kid is really sure and they want to potentially transition to do things like block puberty so they don't have to go through it twice and prevent surgeries. There's lots of options that are really safe that have been used for decades. But sitting down and having a conversation with your kid is really good, and just saying, like, how do you feel about this? There are a lot of really new positive pop cultural examples of trans kids or gender-neutral kids that you can use as reference. So sometimes that can be helpful.
It's an interesting question. In a perfect world where gender has no cultural associations, would there still be a need to transition?
Yes, absolutely. Because I didn't transition because of a power dive, because of the benefits of being treated differently at the mechanics. Right? That's not why I transitioned. I didn't transition so that I would gain the benefit of male privilege because our world is gendered. I transitioned for me because I have to live with me at the end of the day, and at the end of the day, gender is irrelevant to me doing my laundry. But it made a big difference to me walking in front of a reflective surface and feeling connected to who I was. So let's say gender doesn't exist, which, like, gendered expectations in society doesn't exist, I would still want to feel the way I feel in my body now.
That's a good answer. Now, you did tell me about, because I was asking what's the difference between female and male, and I thought, oh, there's no big deal. You said you were walking behind a woman just after you transitioned in front of the mall. And what happened?
Well, because I was socialized female, right? So I grew up female, and the whole, like, don't walk down a dark street, despite the fact that I was super butch. You know, don't walk downtown down a dark street by yourself. Like, we build these protections into women, not because that's the way the world should be, because that's the way the world is. But I had a moment where I was walking home. I think I was buying tampons, actually. That was the best part. I was partway through my transition, so not everything can do. But so I was walking home from, I think it was Shoppers, and there was a woman about a block in front of me, and she turned around, looked at me, and crossed the street. And I had this moment of, like, hey. But I had never felt that. Like, I'd never been socialized in a male context, and so it didn't even occur to me that I would be seen as potentially dangerous or predatory because I was presenting as male and it was dark out. It's just something you don't think about. In the reverse, in the same way that trans women who have been socialized male don't often have the social cues that women are grown up learning in order to be safe, and so end up accidentally putting themselves in situations where if they were male looking, they would be more safe than being female looking, and so you end up in these vulnerable situations because the socialization around what our current culture isn't present.
Did you choose? Oh, sorry. Do you seek relationships with men or women?
Oh, that's interesting. So I was lesbian identified previous to my transition and had only had relationships with women, and I would now identify as bisexual, which sometimes happens. My sexual orientation and my gender are different, but it was interesting to me that they shifted because I had enough to deal with, and, you know, one more thing, right?
And that opens up a whole new can of worms that if we had 6 hours, we'd go and talk through all that. So let me just keep going. Do you have to take medication for the rest of your life?
Yes, I do testosterone injections every 2 weeks. I learned to give myself needles, but I have lots of tattoos, so it wasn't that bad.
So every, like, for the rest of your life, testosterone?
Yeah, absolutely. Unless the gene therapy that they're starting to work on gets better, which should be great. But we're not there yet, but it's not so bad.
And that's all you have to take, testosterone?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. How much does transitioning cost medically?
Oh, that really depends. Thank God we live in Canada. Let's put it that way. But what you're looking at is there's a lot of things that are, in Alberta in specific, all of my surgeries were covered, which was really spectacular, because otherwise you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $120,000 for all three. Bottom surgery being the most expensive, and since I skipped that altogether, that was great. But testosterone, something like $80 a bottle for 2.5 months, that's not so bad. But the things you don't think about are, like, changing all your identification, which ends up being somewhere between, like, $600 and $800, depending on all these things. And you have to change it sometimes twice.
And a huge pain in the butt.
Yeah, because I did my name change and then my gender marker change. So, okay. I mean, you end up racking up and buying new clothes because your body fits completely differently. There's all kinds of little costs that are kind of buried, but you end up spending easily a couple grand here and there.
What are the questions we should not ask people who identify as trans?
Well, we covered don't ask them about their junk. That helps. what surgeries you've had or not had. And there, I'll preface this by saying there are relevant situations where knowing what surgery someone has had is important. If you're going to sleep with them, you should. That's, and we could get into dating, but that's something that you should be upfront about anyway. But like, if you're a nurse practitioner, or you're like, because testosterone and estrogen affect things like blood clotting, and levels of osteoporosis and heart attack and stroke, those are all relevant medications that need to be accounted for. So there's relevant situations in that. Depending on the person's comfort level, you can start asking them about things. But like, don't ask them what their old name was, and don't ask them about their genitalia are the two big ones, because those are the most common. Everything else, like if they're comfortable, and you can tell this in conversation, and they want to talk about it, you'll know. If they don't want to talk about it, you won't know, generally.
So you walk up to someone in a room, and you're looking at them going, they're fairly gender neutral. I'm not sure which gender they're presenting.
Yeah. Ask them what pronouns they prefer.
Okay, yeah, but if they're not trans and you ask them that, that's usually a, you know, if I'm like, hey, are you a man or a woman? Like, that's what I'm asking.
It's kind of although pronouns is different than asking if you're a man and a woman. I think that there's a there's an identifier with pronouns. In the queer community, it's really common to go to somewhere and you have a name tag and then it says pronouns underneath and you can write whichever pronouns. So pronouns, him, her, she, he, pronouns. In the queer community, it's not uncommon for people to use they because it, linguistically in the English language, they is a gender-neutral pronoun that we have used in context for centuries.
Yeah.
And so that's always an option. But sometimes you can there's one of those you can listen to conversation and wait for somebody else to gender them and then you can use that as a reference point. So if you want to just avoid the conversation altogether.
My mom feels she should have been born a boy but won't pursue it for religious reasons. How can I support her?
That's a really, really good question. I know a lot of people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s that are too, they consider themselves too old to transition because of the medical procedures and various other things. Okay. What you can do is you can create a safe space for your mother to allow for a certain amount of self-expression within a safe space. And so there are little things, but in the same way that you treat male and female friends a little bit differently, there's a level of camaraderie versus comfort that we play back and forth with gender. And sometimes sometimes being really active about showing someone that you see them for who they are despite the fact that externally they may not look that way can go a large way to creating that kind of safe space. So pal around with your mom. You know, watch the football game if she's into that.
Drink beer.
There are things that you can do, and that can be kind of fun. And there's just little things like buy her some boxers. Don't give them to her like at Christmas in front of everybody. but, you know.
Do you pick your name?
I totally did. And I picked my name, and then I decided, because my gender marker was changed a couple of years after my name was changed, I changed my name first. My middle name is Soda Pop, legally.
Soda Pop.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they weren't going to charge me extra for the extra name. But what it did is... it was fun. One, then I'm never going to name a kid that, and they don't have to hate me later. And Johnny Cash, you know, he had already wrote a song about it once. But and then when bouncers looked at my ID, it was my middle name that stood out, not my gender. Right? So, like, bouncers and bank tellers, and they think it's hysterical. And then we get to have this conversation about it. And they're like, oh, you know, did your parents give you that name? Did you pick it? And it allows for conversation. And it's fun. Why not?
This is something I asked you. Do you identify as trans male? Or why do you identify as trans male, not just male?
That's a really good question. Identify as a trans man, and I do it deliberately for education purposes. Because there's a term in the trans community called going stealth, and that's where you transition, and then you don't ever talk about it again. And in the 70s in the medical institution, if you transitioned and then continued to talk about your trans experience, you were considered a failed transsexual, and in the States, they would make you pay back any money that your insurance had covered for surgery. Brutal.
Wow.
And if you ended up in a same-sex relationship after transition, they would do the same thing, right? Because homosexuality wasn't taken out of the DSM until 1974.
Okay.
It caused a lot of problems. So I'd be failing all over the place. But so I identify as a trans man deliberately because I do a lot of education and because I believe trans visibility is important. We're about 30 years behind human rights-wise from the rest of the LGBT community because we keep getting cut out of things because we're super visible and we have a unique set of issues. And so I identify deliberately, and when it comes to dating and meeting people, I want to know essentially right away what kind of situation I'm in. I mean, I'm not identifying as a trans man at Starbucks, but if I'm dating or I'm meeting people and it's relevant, I think the shock value is funny when I'm in control of it, not when somebody else is. Right?
When you told a story about somebody who's transitioned, say, man to a woman, finally the world sees them as who they always felt. You know, they start flirting at a bar with some guy, everything's going good. They haven't said anything yet. It just gets the longer and longer they delay it, the more saying it becomes a bigger and bigger issue. Mm-hmm. And so you say doing it up front is a safety issue as well, of saying, no.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this right here.
I consider it a safety issue. I also consider it rude if you go to somebody's house intending to sleep with them, drop your pants, and are like, surprise! No one wants that.
That is rude.
And then you're in a it's a safety problem, right? You're in a vulnerable situation. And honestly, I would rather know before I pay for dinner up front if somebody's cool or not, because I'm going to save my money and go somewhere else. Right?
What locker room do you use in the gym?
I use the men's locker room. Yeah. Nope. I was like, well, I got to change too. I'm cautious depending on what gym I'm in. Like, I have pretty significant scars on my chest, which you can't, they're not super visible now because they faded.
Okay.
But I use the men's locker room. Which, then let me tell you, men's washrooms were not an improvement in my life. Okay? Jesus. Like, it's not out of a sense of like, yeah, no. Like, I don't understand how guys spend 15 hours a day playing Call of Duty and they can't hit the toilet. I don't understand.
For the record, I sit down.
You have it your whole life. It's been like a couple of years for me.
Wow, am I going to hell because I'm trans?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, I think hell's going to be a big gay party anyway. because that's where all my friends are going, if it exists. There is definitely quite a bit of stuff, if you're going for biblical text, that talks about, like, you know, you shouldn't modify your body, and obviously body modification, which is a funny way to put it. But the same things like you're not supposed to have tattoos either, or wear contact lenses.
We don't take that.
Yeah,
that way.
Right. So I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, yes, is there scripture against it? It's not as explicit. Could you expand it to include trans people? Sure, but
sketchy.
Yeah, I've got other shit to worry about.
So let me, because maybe that's a question for me. I'm not sure that I would say whether hell exists or not. I think we can make hell on earth for trans people by mistreating them and not loving them. And so I think being trans for some people is definitely, in some senses, being treated poorly and going, kind of having the hell of, or hell on earth. And hopefully that's what we can fix today.
Totally.
So we have one more minute. So I can ask anything you want to say that we haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah. Is there anything we didn't, does anybody have any more questions?
There is still more. Let me do this. What's yours? Oh, no, I don't want to do that one.
My parents? Me and my parents still don't get along.
Really?
And that's okay, because they're nuts. Yeah, they're crazy. Seriously, they kicked me out of my house for being gay and moved to Vancouver. It's Vancouver. It's like, if you're trying to avoid gay people, you're going in the wrong direction.
Move to Manitoba.
Or, really, you're screwed. I would say move in with the penguins, but we covered that. They're nuts. But you know what? My grandparents are really, honestly, my surrogate parents. Like, I have really great connections with them and my family, and that's where I spend Christmas. And, like, I just don't have time in my life for crazy people. Like, if they want to figure their shit out and come contact me in a couple of years, be my guest. I don't got time for that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, my queer family and my grandparents and the rest of my biological family are great. Like, my grandparents are in their 70s. If they can get over it, then it's clearly not my problem.
Folks, let's give them a big round of applause. Thank you. James, that was outstanding. Thank you. Just go sit down. I'll talk a little bit. Folks, we can do better than we've done. We can do better than how we treated the gay community. And today is the beginning of that. So I want you to go out, actively connect with the trans people in your life. When you meet someone who's trans, you now have some things, guidance on how to treat them with respect and love and how to support them and how to be amazing to them. Let's be a community that doesn't bring hate and pain and suffering into a world, into a community that's already gone through so much. Let's be the one that they're going to come to and say, you guys love me amazingly. Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. Let's do an amazing job of it, okay? Have a great week. James will be outside. You can ask him any questions you want. Thanks, everyone.